This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned into the Money Control podcast series FutureWise, where we bring you the latest and upcoming trends in education and careers. I'm your host, M. Saraswati, and today we have with us Mr. Rohit Sethi, Director of Study Abroad Consultant, ESS Global. Now, a lot of Indians in the past few years have fallen prey to fake universities. Just last week, around 90 more students, a majority of them Indian, were sent back for enrolling into a fake university set up by the US Immigration and Customs Enforcement Authorities. Now, how does one verify such credentials? Let us hear from Rohit, who has done a lot of research on this topic. Hi, Rohit. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Good afternoon.
So, typically, how does one verify the credentials when applying abroad?
See, when any student is putting the application abroad, first thing they normally want to see is the university which they are choosing or where they are putting admission is recognized in the job market. Because Indian education system has actually taught them the thing. There are a lot of universities which are recognized and some are which are not recognized as much as a tier one or good universities in the job market. So as a part of our normal working, if you ask about a day in ESS with me, we get a lot of queries that they ask, is this university recognized? So step number one, which we normally tell every student to do their part of hard work or do their part of research. Go to website of the universities, see, read a lot of stuff about the curriculum, number one, the course that you are choosing from, the facilities, number two, and always apply to 2 to 3 universities. On top of that, what a student need to understand is the education system of that particular country. If we have to name a few countries, for example, UK, USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, where a lot of international students go for higher studies. Universities are being regulated by some part of the government section, or some universities are regulated by central government, some are state government regulated, and some are with certain bodies. So before a university is being selected, we try to run through with the university website with all the students. We're telling them or teaching them the certain codes which are available on the university website, which are available with every course that they intend to study, and vis-a-vis check those courses on the government websites parallelly. So most of students are aware the universities are recognized. Most of students are aware that courses are recognized in the job market by checking a couple of things parallelly. Code is one example which I gave. If I have to elaborate this coding thing, it's like if we talk about Australia, there's a term called CRICOS, C-R-I-C-O-S, CRICOS code. Now, if a university does not have a CRICOS code, they cannot entertain international students in their universities. And these CRICOS codes vis-a-vis are available on the university website also and government department website also. So the student can put a CRICOS code on that government website and can check, is the university recognized? It will give a proper listing, whether it's a public university, it's a private university, everything is available on websites. However, we have seen this challenge on a different level if a student is opting for US. There are more than 4,000 above universities or degree, the institute or the universities which reward degree. There are more than 4,000 numbers. In that case, it's a bit difficult to check with the departments or the U.S. bodies, Department of Education, whether it's recognized or not. So the easiest and the quickest way is to do is, if a university is giving me admission in very minimal documentation, for example, they are compromising on a lot of quality issues with the student. I can give you one example in this. I got a certain query in my office where a student got an I-20 in 3 days. From a U.S. university, and I was actually amazed because the process of getting I-20 is approximately 45 days to 60 day process where university go to the education credentials, transcripts, LORs, verify those LORs, and then extend the admission letter to the student. So anything which is coming in a short span of time, it's understood, it's common sense that the quality has been compromised, the process of admission has to be compromised with the whole application. So that should be the first alarming bell to the student. See, U.S. education or any other education, as a matter of fact, need a lot of planning that includes starting a well advanced. Your planning should start well advanced, 6 months or 1 year, depending which university you want to go. So that, though, if that is a last minute rush, somebody or some university is offering offer letters within 48 hours or I-20 and 3 working days. So these are the actual alarming bell that, will I am getting to the right place? It might get me the visa, because I-20 is there, visa I can apply, I might get a visa. What if I go to US to my university and it's a two-room university, for example, or it's a one-room university, or there are no studies happening in the university? So these kind of students actually end up, you know, in problem after a while, where they don't get what they expected at the first place. So minor checks which they can do at their end, for example, as I refer, curriculum check, it is available on website. Exchange couple of emails with the university faculty, especially where you are unsure that the university is still there, or, you know, somebody says, we have seen a lot of universities in US long time, in the last 5 years, I believe, if I'm recalling it correctly, that there were two-room universities, operation was handled in one small room where offer letters and I-20s were given. The students end up nowhere. I mean, you know, they don't have classes, they don't have this thing, and they jeopardize their visa at the end of the day. So the whole dream went for a toss. So these kind of couple of basic things. Australia has a CLICOS. Canada has a DLI number, designated learning institute number. Every institute who is authorized to teach over 3 students are given that number, DLI. New Zealand has a monitoring system. UK has registrar of sponsors list. If your university is not in that list, that means you cannot go to that university. So these are basic things, you know, that student can check by going up online, Google, you know, anything, and look for the technical words that is being used on the university website, without checking those technical words on the government-approved websites also. If the both match, it's easy to, you know, finalize that university in your mind.
Okay, but typically, would it also be better to apply to in universities abroad to consultants like you? Would that kind of make the process easier?
It does make easier and more reliable, I would say. However, our industry is not confined to all the good people at the end of the day. I mean, we have both sides of the coin. So we always tell students, because student has a typical requirement for the areas, for the universities, for the courses. So we want to make this journey equally responsible for both the parties, whether as a consultant or as a student. So whenever a student sits on the right opposite my chair, we always tell them, okay, these are the websites which you should certainly refer to. It talks about housing, it talks about how much monthly budget you need, you know, all those basic necessary things which are actually required if you're planning overseas education. And all these universities who are not in a proper, are not in proper recognized manner, they don't talk about this. They only talk about admission, I-20s, money coming in, and that's it, nothing else. So yes, it's more reliable to answer you that. It's more convenient if you apply to a genuine consultant, because somewhere down the line, the responsibility lies on the consultant also to guide you properly on all these tiny, tiny issues. The reason being, because if some families do actually make a lifelong saving into investment of their children, you know, they have earned that kind of money throughout their life, and they plan to sponsor children education in those universities, they want to make sure they go in the right place. So yes, consultant is an added advantage if you apply it through them. That's if I want to sum up in this.
Okay. Now, coming back to the universities as well, would it be right to say it would be easier to choose the older universities which have been well-established rather than, say, universities that have been set up in the last 5-6 years?
That parameter, I will not agree to that. Reason being, nowadays, only selecting universities with their age will not make a difference, because in our terminology, we distribute it as a modern university and traditional universities. A lot of traditional universities are going into the old pattern, whereas they offer limited faculty, limited courses, and new courses of introduction are not being done. Whereas modern university changes their course structure, you know, introduction of new courses as per the time. Nowadays, students need to have, or they want to go for a specialized program rather than generic programs. So a lot of time we have seen these kind of courses are being offered with the new universities, modern universities, if I may say so, and not with the traditional universities. It should not make any difference with the university, I'll say. However, there are certain universities which are given university tag after being into the education system for over 2 or 3 or 4 decades. We have these kind of example also, where the institute was tagged as an institute or a polytechnic or a government vocational college for last more than 50 years. However, the university tag was given in the last 5 to 7 years. So I would rather say, I mean, do the basic checks than going on the age.
Okay. But if the student kind of goes to a particular country and then finds out that the university is fake, is there any redressal mechanism?
See, definitely, yes. If any student, you know, end up in this thing, the best advice that I can give in this thing is go contact your local embassies over there that this has been done and this has happened to me. I want just to correct it ASAP. How you can help me? What I have seen, more my personal examples in my career of 17 years, what I have seen, a lot of people take a lot of time in asking for help. Rather, it could have come immediately, because people have this tendency to wait and watch what the other student is doing or what the other student is doing, you know. Rather than waiting for each other, it should come with a turnaround time that this should happen in these many days. I can support this statement with a couple of examples. You know, if somebody is going into UK university or a college, they have this regulation. If your college gets bankrupt or, you know, it's out of business, you have 30 days to get in touch with the government and ask for help. Vis-a-vis, Australia has the same policy of 30 to 60 days. New Zealand has the same policy of 30 days, I believe. So every government has developed a mechanism where students can go to them and ask for the help. There are two options normally which the government gives. Either refund the balance money, which is being unused by the university. And when I refer to the unused money, I mean to say sometimes it happens. You have been through half of the course and then suddenly college is shut down. So whatever half courses the universities had taught, on pro rata basis, that money is being deducted and the rest is refunded. Or second, which most of the university, most of the students choose, resettlement in the different college. So that government helps them into this. The mechanism is already in place. It is just a timely action is needed from the students.
Okay. Just one last question from you. Would you think some countries are more prone to this? Because particularly in the US, we are seeing a lot more incidents.
Yes, certainly yes. Because the US is a big, big, big country, over 50 kind of states. And as I said, more than 4,000 higher education institutes. And whereas in this country, what I have seen or what my knowledge is, there is state government plays a major role in the universities rather than the central government. So whenever a student is applying to a particular state or a particular university in whichever state, I advise them, check the university and check the state education department website also. There has to be some kind of, there is some kind of credibility concerns or credibility given to the universities by the state government also. So it is evident and it is seen. The more number of universities, the more kind of trouble it happens. As we all are aware that this is US, I think this has come highlighted in last 2 years, 4th or 5th time or maybe more, these kind of issues. Because it's a big state with a big number of institute and colleges happening. Whereas such kind of incidents does not happen in any other place. Or if it happens, people are very much educated. The government makes an effort to educate them. Normally, this is a part of the offer letter package. You know, when you apply to colleges, they give you a good offer letter with good amount of information. They always share the booklet, information booklet, which international students need to know before coming into that country. So that can be one of the check also, you know. What kind of offer letter I'm getting? Is it a 2-pager offer letter? Or it's 2-pager offer letter with a good handout from the university? because a university or a genuine university certainly wants their student should be well prepared before coming to their country. You know, that kind of information session has always happened with these kind of universities, whereas they are equally concerned about the student well-being once they land up in their country.
Sure. Thank you for your insights, Rohit.
Thank you.
And now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
I'm sure a lot of listeners would have their doubts cleared and it would help them take right decisions for the future. That's all for this edition of the podcast. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for listening.